Forex Exchange.
Quinn Kelly, Johnny Rourke, Brendan Connolly. This is the Sports Exchange on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back here. Hour number two of the Sports Exchange. We start off with our good friend John Lyons of Dirty Water Media and the New England Football Journal in to talk a little NFL draft. So it was the first disappointment, I think, for a lot of New England fans of a weekend that appears to be littered with the disappointments. So, John, I'm interested right off the bat. We'll start with first thanking you for joining us, and secondly, your take on Cole Strange, the name that that sent shockwaves through New England, the offensive guard selected at pick number 29.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. And I think a lot of people in New England, myself included, were hoping for a corner, you know, or a linebacker, or an impact defensive player, either with pick 21 or later on. And, of course, we did not get that. However, I think with Cole Strange, this is a guy that he can come in right away and probably be their starting left guard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use a first-round pick on that, I know the guard position is not maybe the same value level that a tackle is or maybe a defensive player, but right now the Patriots don't know who their two starting guards are going to be. I mean, personally, I think Michael Onwenu is going to start at right guard and Trent Brown will start at right tackle. But that's not set in stone, because if Trent Brown gets hurt again, they're either going to have to put Justin Heron in at right tackle, or Mike Onwenu's going to have to kick out to guard. And you can say that the Patriots kind of brought this problem on themselves by letting Ted Karras go and trading Shaq Mason, and that's a fair point. But I think Cole Strange is a guy that even if they reached for him a little bit, which I do feel like they did, if he's a starter for you for 8 or 9 years at guard and he's solid, then in the end, you're not going to view that as a bad pick. You're going to view it as maybe not exciting and maybe not the best pick they could have made there, if we're being honest. I mean, I would have loved Kaiir Elam. I would have loved Trent McDuffie. But I do think, you know, the problem is a lot of people heard, you know, guard out of Chattanooga, no idea who he is, and they automatically hated the pick. And I get it, right? Because last year we had Alabama's quarterback, you know, Alabama's defensive star, Oklahoma's running back. You know, these are guys people knew. And whereas when you have a guard from Chattanooga and then even in the second round, a receiver from Baylor, maybe a lot of people don't know those guys as much. But like I said, if he comes in and he is, you know, an 8 or 9 year starter at guard and he's solid, we'll look back on it and say, hey, the pick was, even though we might have preferred something else, the pick was worth it.
Yeah, it certainly is one of those things. I think it's a great point, John, right? Because, you know, the Marcus Cannon thing, right? I feel like the line we've heard so much this weekend is, well, you filled a hole that you created yourself, right? And you had plenty of other holes. The reality is Marcus Cannon's, you know, was on the book for $8 million next year, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do with him going forward from there. Whereas, you know, now you've got at least a team controlled for 5 years offensive guard at low money. So there is some value there, but you're absolutely right. It is tough for a fan base that is unfamiliar with a guy who plays a very unsexy position, you know, in a roster that is littered with some holes. And to me, John, I'll now extend kind of into the second round. They really didn't address any of these holes to me. When you go pick by pick, yes, you have a hole at guard. Was that the most pressing issue for you? I don't know. You filled that hole. But then you go to wide receiver. You get a speedster, which hasn't necessarily worked for you in the past, and your real need, yes, well, you do need something at wide receiver, is more finding a true slot receiver, and you didn't exactly get that. And then you drop down to the third round, and I felt like there was a little bit of hat on the hat with the third round. You got a great athlete in Marcus Jones, but is Jonathan Jones not your slot corner? Like, you didn't get a big outside presence. You brought in a corner who's 5'8". So this is a team that has, you know, long championed the we draft best talent versus draft for needs. And I guess you saw some of that today. And it was just kind of a confusing draft more than anything else, John. And I don't really necessarily feel like they walked away with a lot of their immediate needs addressed.
Right. And like last year when they walked away with Christian Barrymore and Mac Jones and Ramondre Stevens, I felt a lot better, you know, the first week of May last year than I do right now.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't mean that the draft necessarily is bad. However, I view this draft as a kind of a risk, because if Cole Strange is good Mm-hmm. And Tyquan Thornton is good. And Marcus Jones and Jack Jones are good. And one of those running backs is good. We're going to look back on this as a great draft. And sure. You look at one of the best drafts the Patriots ever had was 2003. A lot of people didn't know who Ty Warren and Asante Samuel and Dan Copen were when they got drafted, or Eugene Wilson. They weren't out of necessarily huge, you know, top-ranked programs, but it ended up being a terrific draft, and those guys were all key pieces of multiple Super Bowl-winning teams. But I feel like if this draft goes well, we're going to look at it as, oh, they found all these gems. But if it doesn't go well, we're going to look at it like 2017, where they drafted Derek Rivers and Antonio Garcia, and Garcia never played. Rivers barely made an impact, and they really have nothing to show for that draft. And I think the other thing, and I can understand why, like from a fan perspective, is a lot of the draft picks they've had that have worked out over the past 5 years have been big-time program guys. Yeah. I mean, they got one good player from the 2019 draft, and that's Damian Harris from Alabama, big-time program. And, of course, as we know, Jake Bailey is a future Hall of Famer, but he's only a punter. And in 2018, even, if you want to say Sony Michel had a good rookie year and Isaiah Wynn's been a serviceable tackle, well, those guys are both from Georgia. So it's these – even, like, they've had bad drafts, for, in my opinion, from 17 to 19. And the only good pieces in those drafts were from big-time schools. And then you go back to last year, the best pieces they had were from big-time schools. So people see the smaller schools or the not-as-well-known schools, and they get apprehensive. And like I said, I understand it. And it's really, to go back to my original point, it's a risk. This could end up being an A-minus, you know, great draft, but this could also end up being a D-plus if some of these guys don't adjust to that higher level of competition.
You know, this is my thing with it, and I'll go to Brendan here in just a second, but a lot of times you can look at a draft and know that's a good draft. Last year we were sitting, probably talking to you on this very same edition of the show, and said, wow, that was a great draft. You knew right away that the Patriots had some guys. You can't always tell a bad draft right off the cuff, but it's tough after last year feeling so great coming out of this weekend, now having to sit back and play the waiting game that we've been on the wrong end of so many times recently. But, Brendan, jump in here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, John, I was just thinking, I think we were all in agreement that they kind of reached for Strange in the first round, but then it seemed like the Patriots kind of tried to backtrack a little bit and make up for that by taking Thornton in the second round as a receiver, a position of need, of course. But what are your thoughts on that pick? I feel like he was going to go in that area somewhere, but I feel like they could have gotten somebody better.
Yeah, and look, I felt, and I'm in agreement with you guys, their biggest need at receiver was a slot who, you know, similar to the Welker, Edelman, Troy Brown, you know, a guy who can get open in 3 seconds, you know, on third and six, or 2 seconds on third and six, and get a first down. And I don't see that guy still on the roster. I mean, Jacoby Myers is a fine player, mm-hmm. and he's really good at negotiating space. That's why he always seems to find a way to get open. But that's not a guy that's running a quick whip route and getting open in 2 seconds on third down. And Kendrick Bourne, great athlete, but that's not really his thing either. And it's not Devontae Parker's thing. It's not really Nelson Aguilar's thing. And to me, Tyquan Thornton, I think there's going to be a battle between him and Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Aguilar's got 1 year left. And what I think Nelson Aguilar's in a better spot now because they got Devontae Parker. Because Devontae Parker is going to be more of that matchup guy on the outside, and it's going to, I think, open things up for Aguilar a little bit more. But if Thornton comes in and he's as good, they're probably going to go with him because he's bigger and he's faster. But
yeah,
I wouldn't also be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't also be surprised if Thornton is almost not a full red shirt, but he doesn't get a lot of action, and then Aguilar plays most of the year, leaves after the season, and then Thornton is really that guy next year. So the Thornton pick, I see some potential there. And look, the guy ran a 4.2840. He's really fast. He runs pretty good routes. He's not afraid to go over the middle. He learned two different college systems in his time at Baylor, so you know he's pretty smart. But he's got some rawness to his game, and he's got to adjust to the system. And let's also be honest, the Patriots typically don't have those burners down the field. Outside of Randy Moss, they don't really do that. I mean, they would throw some deep passes with Deion Branch. They threw some with Chris Hogan, but Chris Hogan was only really here for, what, 3 years?
Right.
Moss, you could even argue, was really only a 2-year thing, because 1 year they had Matt Castle, but he still did some down-the-field stuff then, and Branch was off and on. So I think they've had that element a little bit more than people think, but still not a ton. And it's going to be an adjustment, and it's a new offensive coaching staff, too. So I think it's going to be a big battle between him and Aguilar, And depending on how that battle in camp goes is going to determine a lot on how much we see Thornton this year.
Yeah, it's that to me, that jumped out immediately, right? It's like that's what Aguilar was brought in for. Now he's been extremely overpaid so far on what he's produced on his contract and is gone after this year more than likely anyways. But going with this guy, this is kind of my question, John. You have Mac Jones, right? And I'm high on him being able to take a leap here in year two. But you mentioned that burner thing. Like, you have a quarterback who has far from the biggest arm in the room, right? You have a quarterback who is going to make his money on being the savvy intellectual, the guy who goes through his reads, makes the right decisions, and, you know, nickel and dimes you down the field. He doesn't really seem like he has the arm that is going to make use of a Tyquan Thornton. And so bringing in a guy like that who really only projects as an outside threat, not a guy who's going to shift inside and have a lot of success, like you said, it seems like such a departure from what you're doing offensively that I just don't really know how he finds a home here in New England.
Yeah, and look, it's a fair point, and I think we're going to have to see if Mac Jones can take that next step with the deep ball. The only thing I'll say in defense of Jones is he could throw the deep ball at Alabama. The Patriots just didn't have anybody that could run that route last year.
Sure.
I think they thought it was going to be Aguilar, and it wasn't him. Bourne is much more of a, you know, catch an 8-yard pass and take it 40 yards rather than just run the 40 yards over the top. And as I mentioned with Myers, he's not that guy. So now that the Patriots have that guy, and again, I put Aguilar in that conversation too, because the Parker move I think is going to open things more for Aguilar. They're going to have that guy one way or the other. But it is up to Mac Jones. Can he take that next step in year two where, let's go back to the playoff game against the Bills. Yes, the Patriots' defense was awful. But let's not forget, early in that game, Mac Jones slightly underthrew that first interception. Yep. I know it was a 40-yard deep ball, and I know it was a terrific play by the safety, but that was slightly underthrown. If he can get that pass more on target this year, then you're going to see the Patriots' offense open up a little more. And if not, then Thornton and Aguilar are not going to be significant pieces.
Well, you add to it that there is the potential, right? He seems like a candidate for one of these now famous or infamous, depending on your slant, Patriot redshirt years. And so I would just ask, John, you know, from your perspective, it's a roster that has so many holes, one of which that we will get to just flat out didn't get addressed during the draft. But it's a roster that has so many holes. Is it at all frustrating to you that they spent a second round pick on a guy who isn't going to come in and be an immediate plug to one of those holes?
Well, I'll tell you what, a little bit, but I do want to say, like, I think he could beat out Nelson Aguilar. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's going to be a legit battle. However, you know, we talk a lot in New England about they drafted N'Keal Harry and all the guys that went after him, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, sure, Terry McLaurin, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they traded up to get Thornton, and Sky Moore and George Pickens went right after him. And Sky Moore went to 54 overall where the Patriots were slotted. So if those guys 3 years from now are better, it's just at that point I might never want the Patriots to draft a receiver again. I don't know. But that's something too. Like I mentioned that word risk earlier. They traded up to get a guy over two other guys that went right after. I mean, that's something that we're going to have to keep our eye on. And I think the team, to me, I think they targeted Thornton. I also think they targeted Cole Strange. I think they targeted Marcus Jones and Jack Jones. It felt to me like they had a group of guys that they really wanted in this draft, and they didn't really care if it was perceived as a reach, like Strange, Thornton, and the two Joneses, as I mentioned. I think they wanted these guys, and again, that's where the risk comes in. If they're great, we're going to sit here in 2 years and say that they had a brilliant draft. If they're not, we're going to be looking at, you know, another necessary big free agent spending spree in 2 years.
Sure. They obviously tried to address some of their needs, of course. I think they didn't get them all, but cornerback was essentially another one. Jack Jones, what did you think of him going off with the 121st pick?
So Jack Jones, the player, I like a lot. I mean, he was a 5-star recruit out of high school. He was terrific for that USC team when he was there early on, but he had those off-the-field issues. And look, I know they were academic issues, and they don't have to go to school when they're in the pros, but they have to be smart enough to understand a lot of information and process it. And not just smart enough, they have to be dedicated enough to put the time into studying. And if he's gotten past those things, then I think he could be a really productive player for them. But if he hasn't, again, that this word risk, I know I keep saying it, maybe it's not great for radio, but the word risk is, it's again, I mean, if he doesn't get past these off-field issues, he's not going to last in the NFL. But if he does, I think we could be looking at a guy that could be maybe in the starting lineup by the end of the season and probably be pretty productive. I'm a huge fan of the player on the field. I think he covers well. I think he's got a nose for the ball. He tackles pretty well. So there's a lot of things to like, but there's also some serious and legitimate question marks.
Yeah, you have him. He comes off the back of another pick at cornerback. He's a little bit more traditional, 5'10", couple extra inches. But let's talk for a second as the jersey department is it's an easy life for them. Three Joneses at quarterbacks, four overall, the most efficient depth chart in the league. Talk to me about Marcus Jones, because it seems like the best of the conversation around him is for what he could bring to this team on special teams rather than what he could contribute defensively.
And it's funny because I wonder if they're actually going to use him as a returner, because when Devin McCourty was drafted, remember the narrative was he's a great special teamer and he'll be a defensive back. When Kyle Duggar was drafted, he was an unbelievable return man. Neither one of those guys really have done much. I don't think McCourty's done any, and Duggar's done a small handful.
Yeah.
So I could see Marcus Jones doing it. And my initial reaction, I was thinking to myself, well, they have one of the best slot corners in the NFL in Jonathan Jones, who's not that old.
No.
So I was kind of thrown off. And if you just look at that position, whether you want to call it slot corner, but even, you know, Jabril Peppers can come down and play that. Kyle Duggar can cover under, and I know he's not the same thing, but great athlete in that slot box safety type position. So when I'm thinking about Marcus Jones, and this is a little bit in my take workshop right now, but I think he could be a long-term free safety Devin McCourty type replacement. And I know he's shorter than their prototype, but he's an unbelievable athlete. He's got a great nose for the ball. He created a lot of turnovers. He can get across the field at any point. I mean, he's, like I said, he's a really great athlete there, and he seems like a pretty smart player from everything I've read and heard and the little bit I've watched. So if Devin McCourty's only here one more year and he can be that athlete at free safety, and you have him and Kyle Duggar as two, you know, your top two safeties with Jabril Peppers there, I think that's pretty good. But it is, again, he's a little bit smaller, I feel like, than their typical free safety type. You know, he seems smaller than Eugene Wilson, smaller than Devin McCourty, but if he can be that athlete and be that guy, that might end up being where it is, because at slot corner, unless he comes in and he's all world and he beats out Jonathan Jones, or if Jonathan Jones does not fully recover from that injury, I don't see him beating out John. I just don't see that right away, and I could be wrong. I think he might end up being more of a safety over the long haul, and potentially with his athletic skills, a pretty good one. But again, it's the height thing concerns me a little bit there.
Okay, that answers the question I wanted to ask, because it just jumps off the page, right? 5'8", it's just small. Like, that's just small.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk through the Patriots locker room and be looking at a bunch of guys at the top of their heads. And that's just, it is a concern. It's a concern for me as well. But at least it feels like you did get a little bit more athletic, right? So to me, John, a lot of the question mark for me is that you saw the Patriots a little bit 1 foot in, 1 foot out with what we at least felt like they needed to do. Right, you maybe want to get a little more explosive on offense. Well, Tyquan Thornton answers that. But you also use your first-round pick on a guard. You need more speed on defense. Well, you get that with Marcus Jones, but can he really realistically fit somewhere with his restrictions? So one of the big things that I think went unaddressed, and to me, which I don't know, I think is arguably one of the biggest issues with the team, is that linebacking position. They're not very, obviously not fast at linebacker anymore. They seem a little bit stuck trying to make it work with thumpers. They don't even draft a linebacker. Did not have one come off the board.
Yeah.
Was that at all interesting to you?
Yeah, to me, the biggest winners on the Patriots roster of draft weekend were Cameron McGrone, Raekwon McMillan, and Josh Uche, because they didn't draft an athletic linebacker, and they didn't draft really a pure pass rusher. And it's interesting. You brought up that word fast. And it felt like to me, if there was one overall trait that the Buffalo Bills took advantage of in the last two meetings last year, and even the Dolphins in the last game of the season, it was speed. The Patriots looked slow, especially on defense. And Cameron McGrone, look, he's a terrific athlete. The problem is he's coming off that torn ACL. So if he's back fully healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Uche gets a lot of time. I mean, he had 3 sacks in week 2 against the Jets, and it felt like not long after that he just disappeared. And I know he was hurt for a little while, but he really just never found his way back consistently on the field. And I think the Patriots' defense, we know they need help at corner, but they also need someone not named Matthew Judon that can rush the passer. And maybe that's going to be Uche. Maybe they're going to utilize some creative stuff with a Cameron McGrone or a McMillan. But look, when I thought they would draft a linebacker at some point. However, I am a believer in Cam McGrone. I think he's a really good athlete. I think he's going to end up playing a lot for the Patriots this year. And to me, I think that's how they view it. They view it as McGrone is a redshirt guy, young guy, fast guy. He's going to play. McMillan, they were really high on. They gave a contract extension to in training camp last year. I think it might have actually been even after he got hurt or right around then. And I think he's going to play, and I think Uche is going to play. Now, again, that word I keep mentioning, risk. I mean, if Uche tails off again, or McGrone's not ready for prime time, or McMillan's not fully healthy, we're going to look back and say, wow, Devin Lloyd was on the board in the first round, and they didn't take him. Or we're going to look back and say, oh, N'Kobe Dean slipped till the third, and they didn't go get him. So I think that they are satisfied with their linebacking group. And I know against the Bills, Dont'a Hightower, you know, great player, great career, but he looked slow against the Bills. And a lot of their other linebackers did too. I think they're expecting this new wave of guys that didn't play last year to be that answer.
Well, just looking around the rest of the draft, John, what were your thoughts about the Eagles acquiring A.J. Brown and then giving him that massive contract extension and then Arizona acquiring Hollywood Brown?
Yeah, for it, first on the Eagles, I credit to them for pulling that off and still having 2 first-round picks next year. And I think he's going to be great there. And look, this is going to be a make-or-break year for Jalen Hurts because he's got Devonta Smith, he's got A.J. Brown. They have a pretty solid team overall, their playoff team last year. If he's not the guy, don't be surprised the Eagles either trade up or do something big to get another quarterback next year. But I like the A.J. Brown trade a lot. I think he's a great player. I think, really, he's worth that money. So credit to the Eagles for going and making that move. And I think the Dallas Cowboys better watch out because they're more talented, but they have those coaching question marks that we all know about. So the Eagles could be a real threat in that division. And then, yeah, the Hollywood Brown trade, it seems like the Ravens, who, by the way, I thought had a really good draft, he never seemed to quite fit there in what they wanted to do. And maybe being in Arizona, I'm pretty sure he played with Kyler Murray in college. I think that's going to be a better fit, and maybe we're going to see him reach or get close to that potential that he really never did in Baltimore.
There's one more big chess piece, if you will, out on the wide receiver market that has been so crazy this year, and that is obviously Deebo Samuel. Now, he's been linked, if you will, to the Patriots in at least once by Odell Beckham Jr.
Reasonably or not.
is there any chance, line up Deebo Samuel to the Patriots and a snowball in hell? Which one has more chance?
It's pretty close. And I'll tell you why. It's because the Patriots don't have a lot of cap room. And I know, look, the cap can be maneuvered. The cap is not as tough as, you know, the NFL makes it seem out to be. But they have to give him a contract extension. And look, I love the player, and I would love for them to trade for him. I just don't necessarily see that happen. Especially, I mean, look, just in the last 2 months, they traded for Devontae Parker, and they used a second-round pick on a wide receiver.
Right.
So unless the price comes down and Deebo can be had for something other than a first or second round pick, which I would be stunned by, then I just don't see it happening at all, unfortunately, because, again, love the player. I don't see it happening right now unless the price drastically changes.
All right. I like it. John Lyons, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Hey, always a pleasure on my end, too, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right, that's John Lyons of Dirty Water Media and the New England Football Journal. Look him up, at The Real John Lyons on Twitter. All right, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to give you our thoughts about the Patriots draft. And we'll talk a little Bruins and get you out of here for the evening. So don't go anywhere. Sports Exchange rolls on.
The Sports Exchange, Sports Headlines.
I'm Quinn Kelly, and these are your WATD Sports headlines. Boston Celtics drop Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals this afternoon, falling 101-89 to the Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown struggled for the Seas, combining for just 33 points on 10 of 31 shooting while turning the ball over 10 times. Meanwhile, Giannis Antetokounmpo starred for the Bucks, picking up the franchise's fourth-ever playoff triple-double with a 24-point, 13-rebound, 12-assist effort in the win. The Celtics will look to even up the series on Tuesday night when Game 2 tips from the Garden at 7 p.m. After losing in extra innings yesterday, the Red Sox entered play this afternoon, needing a win to take the series over the Baltimore Orioles. Sox took an early lead in this one, but a three-run fifth inning gave Baltimore their first lead of the day. Sox starter Nick Pivetta went 4 1/3 today before being pulled, giving up 3 earned runs on 6 hits while fanning 5. The game is just now finishing, as the Orioles have taken it 9-5, despite a long rain delay in the mix there. The Boston Bruins are gearing up for round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Bees are in the top wild card seat and will take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Series opens in Raleigh tomorrow evening. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. The NFL draft took place this weekend. Fresh cast of faces are making their way to One Patriot Place. Pats spent their first-round pick on Cole Strange, an offensive guard out of Chattanooga, before trading up in the second round to take wide receiver speedster Tyquan Thornton out of Baylor. And finally, in PGA Tour news, John Rahm has his 14th career victory as he wins the Mexico Championship from Vedanta. I'm Ken Kelly. Those are your headlines. And now back to the Sports Exchange.
Quinn Kelly, Johnny Rourke, Brendan Connolly. This is the Sports Exchange on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back in. Welcome back in. Quinn Kelly, Johnny Rourke, Brendan Connolly. Let's get into it. Let's go a little round table here.
Oh, boy.
I want everybody's take. Big thank you again to John Lyons of Dirty Water Media and the New England Football Journal for joining us. Always a pleasure. The draft was this weekend. We waited Thursday night. I will say, or at least we were slated to pick well above that that predicted time of 10:50. Pats came on the clock with the 21st pick at 10:20, but then traded out of it, dropped down to the 29th, so we had to stay up quite some time.
I thought my Twitter prediction was going to come true for a brief second.
Who would you put out?
Oh, I put out that they were going to trade down for a third, a fourth, and a sixth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved the trade. You drop back 8 slots with a lot of guys that could fill a lot of needs still on the board and were still going to be on the board, picked up an extra pick. I was happy with the trade. Then the pick came through. And it was announced, Cole Strange, guard out of Chattanooga. So, Brandon, we'll start with you. Give me your draft take.
Well, when I saw that, I was like, that was an obvious reach. They could have immediately answered a need, and I hated the pick. Now, obviously, he could pan out, and he could become a good player, but I think they could have easily gotten somebody better. And overall, that draft, I would give probably a C-minus overall.
I think C-minus is pretty kind.
I mean, usually I'm the tough guy on them because I think they went after some of their needs, which is why I gave them a C-minus. But the problem is I think they took those needs at the wrong spots.
All right, Johnny, give me your take on this this draft performance from the Patriots.
And are you saying overall?
Yeah, just overall or anything. Okay. Just any take. I've got a specific take in mind, but just anything. What jumped out to you from the draft?
That we can't draft, to be honest. I mean, it's just like, and I will say, like, I was admittedly, I know, you know, John touched on it a little bit, where I was one of those guys like, guard out of Chattanooga, like, what are we doing? But I've come around on the pick. I think it was hilarious that all the photos like say Strange on like,
yep.
And it's like, yeah, it was a strange pick.
Yep.
But that made me laugh for a while. But I mean, the more I've looked at him, and I mean, he screams for a guy who's never been to New England, just screams New England.
Sure.
If he was just drafted in the second round, which I think is where we should have slotted him, would be all in on the pick. But the real problem I had with him specifically was where he was selected. But I've started to talk myself into it. Overall, on the draft, I'm going D+. You addressed, in my mind, a max 2 needs. You got a speedy wide receiver, which I loved. I did really enjoy that pick. You know, I think he can help take the top off defenses. And I'm excited to see what he can do for the Pats and with Mac Jones. You know. But other than that, I mean, you straight up didn't take a linebacker. And I know John talked about it, where they have a couple of those guys that they think, you know, they can rely on. But one of those guys is Josh Uche. Like, what are we expecting, a monumental leap from Josh Uche when guys on the board that you know can make an immediate impact are still there? It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I understand the injury history, but I just you had a few runs at at N'Kobe Dean, and it just frustrates me that he's not here. I really did feel like that was a good fit. I mean, he's just a smart linebacker, a team guy. To me, that was frustrating. I would have felt great about everything if you put N'Kobe Dean on this roster. So I'll combat a little bit. I'll be the resident fighter for Cole Strange, I guess. I think it's come to light in the days since the draft. I don't think it was an egregious reach by them. I know different outlets have had it, but at least six teams had him valued at a round one grade. So I think that just a lot of the league felt differently than some of the draft analysts. So, you know, there's that. And I would add to it, you're picking at 29 there and sitting until 54. They identified him as a player they liked. Now, we can go back and forth as to whether or not, you know, he should have been a priority for them, and I think that that's certainly a conversation. But I don't think he's available at 54. If they felt like we need Cole Strange on our roster, we think we have, an interior offensive lineman of the future. We think he's going to be, you know, a big piece, a nice long career for us. He wasn't going to be there for your round two pick. I just think that's the reality of it. I think that has, you know, become a clearer picture in the days since the draft. Now, that said, it looked bad at the time. I'll say this. So let me throw my flame retardant smock on, put a little fire on the paint palette, and I'm going to give you a hot take. To me, the biggest issue I take, or I'll say this, the biggest commentary I think that comes from the Cole Strange pick to me is a lack of confidence in Mac Jones. The fact that they went with a road grader interior offensive lineman, who now, again, the knock against him is that he is not great in pass defense. In pass blocking. He's a run blocker. He's a road grader. He's a dude, you know, helmet bar down the middle. He's going to put his head down, and he's going to push forward. To me, that drafting him furthers this narrative that they're continuing to go the opposite direction of the league and lean on the running back corps. I think the Pierre Strong pick and then add on to it Kevin Harris down the line when they take two running backs in this draft when you already have a crowded running back room further speaks to a shift in offensive approach for the Patriots. To me, that was an indictment on what this team believes Mac Jones is going to be in year two. If you're taking an interior offensive lineman, a position that, you know, Belichick in the past has been okay, just, you know, finding anywhere is far from the most important position on the offensive line. A guy who has no potential to kick out to tackle. He is a career interior offensive lineman. That, to me, is a pick that flies in the face of trying to get better in the pass game offensively. That, to me, was a vote of no confidence for Mac Jones.
I mean, I've heard this take going around that they just decided to take a guy who would have gone in late in the second or early in the third because then they wouldn't have to deal with the diva aspect of the player.
Yeah, and I don't think that's it, because I think that, as I said, I think if you're sitting here on Sunday night and think he was going in the third or he would last the third, I just think you're not reading. Like, he wouldn't have been there in the third. I don't believe he would have been there at 54, or, you know, it would have forced you to trade up, and I think we'd feel a lot worse trading up for offensive guard Cole Strange out of Chattanooga, or maybe not worse, but you'd feel equally frustrated trading up to go get a guard into, you know, into the 40s or wherever you think he would have went. That's just kind of my take on it. I don't hate the player. I think he's got potential to be, you know, I'm interested. I think he needs to be a little more successful than just a career starter for you to feel good about it. I think he needs to be a Pro Bowl guard.
I think they, like I already said this, but I think they attempted to address some needs, but they just picked the players that they did in the wrong spots. That's just my opinion. I feel like they should have gone for a corner or a receiver, a playmaker in that first round, then worked down the list, but they decided to go for the lineman early on. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I think that as more information comes out, like, to me, it seems like Tyquan Thornton was the bigger reach at 50 than Cole Strange really was at 29. I think Cole Strange ends up in the 30s, maybe slides to the 40s. Tyquan Thornton was, you know, was evaluated in, like, in the 80s, right? Like, he was equally on the surface a reach. And then, you know, I think compared to where other, you know, teams evaluated him, I think even more so of a reach than Cole Strange. So that, to me, is just either way. Johnny, you know, I said this to you in conversation. Going from last year where your first four rounds went Alabama, Alabama, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. And now John Lyons alluded to this on the show as well. To winding up with your first four rounds going Chattanooga, Baylor, Houston, Arizona State, South Dakota State, Western Kentucky.
that was something else, too. Like, the drafting a quarterback in the sixth round. I know they need a backup.
Fourth round.
I know he threw 62 touchdown passes at Western Kentucky last year, but, I mean, do you think this is a real... Are they really trying to set themselves up for the future, or do you think this is just a backup option for them?
I think, again, that's where more of my frustration is. So, as I said, I think they went one foot in, one foot out with addressing needs. Like, you don't need the backup quarterback. And I don't think that... Like, I think that that would only further evidence that you're going to take a flyer in the fourth round on a quarterback would maybe say, again, I don't know how confident we are in Mac Jones. Maybe we bring in a guy that could... You know, could be something for us. No, he's probably a career backup, but why are you spending a pick in the fourth round on a career backup when you have a quarterback going into his second year and a quarterback that's in like his fourth year also on the bench? You know, I just, that pick made very little sense to me. I immediately went to see, all right, like, are we looking at a Julian Edelman? Is this guy the next slot receiver? And he's not, right?
He's a quarterback. This guy threw 62 touchdown passes last season. Like,
yeah.
For crying out loud, this is a guy who was in an offense that was run and gun. He's a quarterback. He's not going to be this guy from Kent State that you're going to stuff onto the wide receiver depth chart. This guy is a quarterback. Question is, how are you going to use him? Do you use him? Do you keep him? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, highest Wunderlich score amongst all quarterbacks, so maybe you just figure... Rolling into a season,
he's got a great
with,
name.
Yeah, he does have a great name. But rolling into a season with Matt Patricia as your de facto offensive coordinator, maybe you need somebody who's actually smart in the room and understands an offense to help you out there. So maybe Bailey Zappe is going to be third string quarterback offensive coordinator with you, because I don't understand that pick. I'm not particularly low on the draft altogether, Johnny. I would say I come out a little bit higher maybe than you do with a D+. I'm a little bit higher on that. It's so many question marks. And I just look at, I think that you're equally as likely to get nothing out of this draft as you are to get two good pieces, in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Like, what makes the Pats successful and unsuccessful in drafts, it's the same thing, right? They have their guy. They don't care who's going to come in and make an immediate impact. They just have their guy that might be a little bit off the beaten path, and they're going to go get him, and they're not afraid to go get him. They don't care what people think, and that's what you have to respect about it. But it's like, there's just time and time again, there are guys on the board that you are maybe not sure fire, because when you get outside, you know, the top 15, nobody's going to, I mean, also nobody in the NFL drafts a surefire prospect, but the higher you draft, you know, you would think the better chance you're going to have of a surefire guy. Yep. And there are guys on the board year in and year out when they draft that you're like, okay, that guy can fit a need and he makes a lot of sense and he would fit right in. No, we're going to go with this guy who we like because he's a smart guy. It's like, okay, yeah, they draft based on IQ, it almost seems like.
Yeah.
But it's just time and time again, it's like, this seems like an easy pick. And then they don't do it. So it's just kind of frustrating to do it year in and year out. And sometimes it works out. Like, you know, for instance, let's say Kyle Duggar, right? Kyle Duggar's a good NFL player.
Yep.
I'd have to go back and think. But I know for a fact that there were guys on the board at the time we picked that are, you know, probably better or going to be better. But we just get this idea in our minds that it's almost like we have to be different. Like, we didn't have to go get the Chattanooga guard. We could have gotten the SEC linebacker who – we've had great success with, you know, Brandon Spikes, Merriweather, Hightower, right? That's been the pinnacle of these championship teams on the defensive side of the ball. And we're like, no, we're just actually not going to go get one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you in that regard. I do think that they tend to outsmart themselves a little bit. I think that, you know, ultimately, Cole Strange, like, I have no lack of confidence that he is going to be a good player for the Patriots for a good number of years. And that's all well and good. You know, that is what it is. So in a lot of ways, they made a safe pick there, even though it was regarded at first blush as a big reach. They made a pretty safe pick there. Like, him, the likelihood that he at offensive guard turns out to be, you know, far worse than was evaluated is not as high as a guy even you know, that many thought we should have taken in Trent McDuffie. And we were sitting there at 21, right? Like, there's a far higher bust chance with Trent McDuffie.
That's another storyline there. What did you think about the Patriots deciding to make multiple deals with Kansas City during the course of this draft?
I don't really put anything into it. I don't know. It was interesting. It was interesting to see that the second time it was like, oh, we're going back to the well with that. But I think it's just sometimes needs a line. And, you know, I don't know. I don't put too much into it. They're not our competition right now, I guess is like maybe a kind of a crazy take there. But there are a lot of steps
to get
on
to
the
that
contention
level.
to be worried about what Kansas City is doing there. What I'd say I have a greater issue with is if you felt like cornerback was a big need for you in this draft, letting Buffalo get a guy that they wanted. Your immediate concern in division got better at a position that you also needed to get better at. So like the Kyir Elam pick for Buffalo, that was a little bit frustrating to me. You know, and I'm not saying I want to draft Kyir Elam because Buffalo wants him, but you know, if it worked out that way, that sure would have been nice, right? I don't think anybody was, you know, pining for Cole Strange. But sometimes you need a little Strange in your life. So, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know if I have a letter grade for this. I think this is the pinnacle of wait and see drafts. I just have no idea what we're going to get from this. I did outline it a little bit with John. Like I think that some of these picks just don't make a lot of sense to me as fits. They don't fit immediate needs. I think that you went into positions of needs and addressed them in ways that aren't actually filling anything. Like I said, you need a slot receiver, you get an outside receiver. You need an outside corner, you get a guy who most likely is a slot corner. I don't know. It just seemed like a little ass backwards to me. All right, we're going to head a break. When we come back, Back 9 comes your way to close out the show.